Our next presenter is Diana Cervantes from the Texas Department of Health Services, and she's going to be speaking on a mumps outbreak in Johnson County, Texas, during November 2016 through March of 2017.
Thank you. Before I go into the details of the outbreak, I just want to give you a little background. So in late November of 2016, a mumps outbreak was beginning to form in a really small North Texas community, and that outbreak turned out to be the largest outbreak in Texas since 1994. So how was this outbreak detected? I got a call on Saturday. This is the week going into Thanksgiving. I had an IP. She called. She said, "Hey, yesterday I got three cases of mumps, children. Obviously, I don't see that many cases of something unusual." She said, "But there's some unusual thing in the records. I think they may all go to the same school district." I said, "No problem. Just go ahead and fax them to me. I'll look at them Monday." Reviewed them Monday. First case, nothing really too unusual. Yes, she had some swelling. It was a elementary school age child. The second case was a middle school age child. Mom said, "Well, you know, he played football. He did hit his jaw. I think maybe that caused the swelling, but then he did have some fever." The third case, definitely, it raised some red flags for us. We noted in the records it was stated Hawaiian Pacific Islander, and there was a note stating vaccination records unknown, history unknown, vaccinations done in the Marshall Islands. And of course, we were aware of the large mumps outbreak going on in Arkansas. But then this patient was transferred to another hospital, and when we called that hospital, they said, "Oh no, that's not even our differential. This child has a bacterial infection. We sent him home. Everything's good." So we tried to get a hold of the patient's parents. We weren't able to. But so we thought, okay, we were still optimistic. We thought we had two cases. Maybe one of them hit his face with a football, and the other one sent home antibiotics. The onsets were so close to each other. They all went to different schools. We weren't too concerned. But of course, our hope and dreams were shattered on the next day when we got two more cases. And these two cases attended the very same school as case number one. And now, of course, we're going into Wednesday. Schools in Texas, they closed the whole week of Thanksgiving, so we weren't able to get a hold of the elementary school nurse to ask if anything unusual was going on and to let her know that there are three possible mumps cases in her elementary school. But we were able to get a hold of four of our five cases just to give them awareness in regards to transmission. Of course, recommending not traveling during their infectious period to try to keep from exposing other individuals, especially high-risk individuals. And as far as PCR testing goes, we made sure and let the hospital know, because they had just run IgM on the first cases, if they had any more cases, to please do PCR. Another issue that came up is during that time, our state lab was running on a skeleton crew because it was Thanksgiving. And they were told to prioritize Zika specimens, because at that time, that was when the first locally acquired cases of Zika were occurring, and they said, "That's the priority." So we get back from Thanksgiving break. We let the school know, "Hey, you have three cases, possible mumps." The nurse says, "Well, there's a problem, because I just sent home another case who is a household contact of one of your cases, and they are part of a very tight-knit Marshallese community." So we were able to get a hold of the third case. They did report that they did travel to Arkansas. They were exposed to mumps cases. So at that point, we did PCR. We got four or six cases confirmed with mumps. And of course, our prevention and control measures just kicked into high gear. So this is just to give you some outbreak background on Johnson County. Johnson County is located here, highlighted in North Texas. It is a part of a 49-county public health region. It has a population of about 160,000, a very active religious community with Latter-day Saints and Seventh-day Adventists. Also, there is a Marshallese community of about 800 people. Case definition, just standard CSC case definition. Looking into the data, so in the previous 5 years before this outbreak, Texas saw in the last 5 years, really, they did have in 2011 about 68 cases, but then beyond that, there were no more than 15 to 20 cases reported statewide. For that public health region that Johnson County is a part of, no more than maybe 5 or 6 cases. But for our outbreak in Johnson County that officially ended on Monday, there were 191 cases, which is, of course, 10 times more than had been seen statewide in the previous 5 years and more than 30 times than had been seen in that public health region. As most outbreaks, it was genotype G. And most of our cases were vaccinated, had two doses, documented doses. So luckily, there were no serious complications. As far as age distribution, most of our cases were school-aged children, about 60%. We didn't see any cases in infants, very few cases in that preschool age, as well as those over 50. But we did have 35% of our cases were adults 19 to 49 years of age. As far as race and ethnicity, you can see half of our cases were Pacific Islanders, specifically Marshallese. This is just our epicurve. Again, our first case was reported in week 47, which is that week of Thanksgiving. And you can see that we had these peaks in our epicurve that, of course, correspond with that incubation period of mumps about every 16 to 20 days. For prevention and control measures, internally, we didn't raise our EOC, but we did meet, obviously, very regularly, twice a day to make sure that we were covering everything we needed to do as far as case investigation. We had a very diverse staff of EPIs, preparedness, immunization staff. And then externally to stakeholders, we did have in-person meetings at Johnson County to make sure that we were giving updates to the commissioner as well as the judge and the local health authority for Johnson County. This is the time that after these meetings he would address the media. And as I mentioned, Johnson County is within a 49-county public health region. We also have 13 local health departments in that region. And so we would have weekly calls with the local health departments to let them know what was going on with our outbreak, see if any of their cases, because in that whole region we were seeing an increased mumps activity, if any of their cases were related to ours, and just conveying best practices. And of course, we would release every day just a mumps outbreak summary. For community outreach, that was very important for us. As soon as we found out that we had cases that were related to the Marshallese community, we immediately contacted Arkansas, and they gave us really great input on what they had learned, their lessons learned, on how to best approach the Marshallese community. So we worked with church liaisons and also in work sites that they had large Marshallese populations to make sure that we went with somebody who was trusted in the community, had a lot of weight in the community, that was able to translate our awareness information to Marshallese and also just convey the messages on prevention and control measures. And of course, we had to be very, very flexible with our work hours. Initially, when we started case investigation, we had a lot of loss of follow-up in the Marshallese community, so we had to make sure we were doing everything in the evening. Many times it would be 8, 9 o'clock at night. For school districts, there's 12 school districts in Johnson County, and there were only 2 that had cases. But other school districts were very concerned about, honestly, sports, right? This is Texas. So they're like, can these kids come and play at our schools? And, you know, just making sure that they're aware of, yes, they can, so long as they're not sick. We also, the local health authority for the county, did district-wide exclusions for the 2 school districts, so making sure that we were communicating that to the schools. For healthcare provider exposures, we worked with our HEI EPI, our healthcare associated infections EPI. She was really good about communicating with all the small clinic providers in Johnson County to make sure that they're aware of immunizations that were required for medical staff and PPE, and some staff was furloughed. Of course, we just did a lot of advisories and testing. Lessons learned, community insider is very, very important. As I mentioned, the Latter-day Saints community is very big there. They had missionaries who were some of our initial cases. So after they got better, they went out, they did their missionary work, and they gave information about mumps. Mumps awareness was very important. Our HEI EPI was indispensable because we had over 9 healthcare workers that were diagnosed with mumps. One was an HEI. 9 healthcare workers that were excluded due to illness, 54 patients that were exposed, and 8 healthcare workers that were exposed. So she handled all of that. Schools, they needed to really think more about extended exclusion plans. We did have ultimately 21 students that were excluded for up to 18 weeks. So they really had to think about how they were going to deliver education for such a long time. Also, we had vaccine objectors. There's a statement in the document saying that only the health commissioner for the state can exclude students, which isn't the case. A local health authority can do that. And then reporting of moms changed from 1 week to 1 day. And then, of course, last lesson learned, vaccines work. They work because although we had all these cases, we didn't see any complications. All right. Thank you so much.